Reading from the King James, I'm going to be in Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And now Josh Johnson will lead us in song.
Hey, well, before we begin, I wanted to go ahead and just thank everybody who helped with VBS this week. We had an awesome VBS at Turnabout Point. We had well over 100 kids registered. We had great participation in our adult classes and in all of our kids' classes. Everyone had had a good time. But I would be remiss if I didn't thank everybody who helped in some capacity. Some of you only brought cookies, and that was great, and that was awesome. And some people helped teach, and some people helped with security, and some people helped with technology, and some people helped with teacher Bible classes, and some people just helped by being there with the little multitudes of 3- and 4-year-olds trying to, like, herding cats. And thank you so much for your help. Everybody had such a great time, and just the smiles on their faces were completely worth it. And we know that God's word was shared with the community. So thanks for your help. I appreciate it. It was great. As we begin, this one's not in the book. This one will just be on the overhead. We've sang this once, so we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
This one is in the book. Number 650. Send the light. Mm-hmm. Sing the first, the second, and the fourth verse.
There's a call to free for the restless wait. Send the light. Thank you.
We'll sing number 886. Following this song, we'll have our opening prayer. Number 886, On Jordan's Stormy Banks.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. We will rest in the fair and happy land by and by, just across from the evergreen shore. Sing the song
Let's all pray together. Father, we are always looking for the way that John came proclaiming and the way that Jesus talked about. And we're trying to figure out what that looks like. It's called the way of peace, and sometimes it's just called the way. And when we look around in our world, oftentimes we are frightened by what we see. We're unnerved or disturbed. Help us find a vision for that road, the road that leads home, that leads to you. And help us not to be focusing and paying attention to the waves and the storms around us, but keep our eyes locked on the way of God. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Sing number 957. If it's convenient for you, let's stand as we sing together. Number 957.
Heaven's open door.
be seated.
Now is the time, if you have young children, we have a children's training class. Now would be a good time to go. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy. It's in chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you the way these 40 years into the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know that what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you.
Always when we're singing together, there's a phrase or something that sticks out to me as we're singing. And the one today that I just never thought much about before was that last song. And it said, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. That's interesting. The angels are beckoning us. You know, come on, come on. You'll like it up here. And I think that's a good thought to take with us today, is that there is something far better than this world. This world is nice at times. We like living here, but there's a lot of things we don't like. But up in heaven, it's all going to be great. And so the angels are beckoning us, and they're telling us, everything is prepared. God has made the way available. Why don't you come? And so I want you to think about that for yourself today. Come on, let's go together. And going together always makes it more successful than trying to do it alone. We're so glad you're with us today. We have a good number here today, even though the weather is a little iffy outside. Notice some of the songs we sang were about storms, and that may be what's happening later in the day. But we're ready for it. All the heat we've had, we're ready for some rain. But it's good to have you with us today. We have visitors with us. I've met some that I had not met before this morning. We're glad you are here. We have other visitors that I have met before. And it's always good to see you as well. And all of you members, it's really good to have you here. It encourages us to be together. And just seeing you here builds me up. And that's why we have fellowship before and after worship, is to find out how you've been doing. Is there anything I can do to help you? And we hope that everybody will make time to do that, to get to know somebody a little better. It was a great VBS, as Josh said, and the children, it was just delightful to see our children participating and getting so enthusiastic about it. This is a good church home, and if you're not a part of our family here, I would urge you to think about it. We'd love to have you as part of our family. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. At that time, we're going to have our young men lead us in worship. This happens every so often. And every time, it is so encouraging to me to see some of the little ones, as well as the older ones, that are up here and just doing so well. And if you want to see them continue in that path, you can help by being here. Your presence tonight will say, wow, they wanted to come out, even though they knew it was just a bunch of young guys. They came out, and that encourages me. And I would urge you to come out and talk to them afterwards, say, you did a great job. This is a family. Let's encourage all of our little ones and do everything we can to help each other. And then, of course, let's not forget, and how could we with those aromas coming into the building, there is a meal afterwards, after we finish worship, and we want you to come down and join us for that. We've got plenty of food. I've been down there doing quality tests here and there. It's all good. I really haven't, but I get chased out of the kitchen every time I go in. But we want you to be there, so come on down, join us. Let's spend a little time breaking bread together. It's going to be great. I know maybe you didn't bring anything. You didn't know it's going to be today. Come anyway. There's plenty there, and we'd love for you to join us for that. So let's enjoy the Lord's Day. The Lord gave us this day to draw closer to Him and to draw closer to each other. So let's do that. Now get your Bible out. Let's get into the Word of God. I hope you'll look at these passages as we come to them. You'll see the references on the screens, and I'll try to give you enough time to get there before I begin reading them. And that way you'll see this is what God's Word says. It's not just the rambling of a preacher. This is what the Word of God says. And I want you to follow with us as we do that. Now, of life. I mean, for you, what would you call the necessities of life? And if I said, make a list of 3 to 5 things that you would call the necessities of life, what would be on that list? And I dare say, some people would say, well, we got to start with a smartphone. And, you know, my morning cappuccino, that needs to be there. And air conditioning, that's a necessity. Well, those are actually luxuries. We may think of them as necessities, but they're actually luxuries. We can live without them. And some of us are old enough to say, we did. We lived without those things. I would suggest there's other things that are truly necessities of life, like water or something to drink to hydrate, food to keep our bodies fueled, adequate shelter, adequate clothing. Those are necessities. And yet sometimes we get it all mixed up, you know. But let me ask you this. Is there something even more necessary than those necessities of life? And the passage we just read says yes. There is something more necessary. If you were listening to Deuteronomy chapter 8, you would know, well, it says that, you know, we had the bread from heaven, God fed us, but there's something more important than that. And so this morning, I want us to think about that because God wants us to know. I mean, the people that were listening then were right on the edge of entering into the promised land. In Deuteronomy, they were about ready to cross the Jordan and to go into the promised land. Some of us today may be closer to our promised land than we realize. And so it's important that we understand, how do I get there? How do I keep up my strength until I get there? And this idea about Christian manna, I think it's going to help us because it's in the Word of God. So let's talk about it. Now, first of all, let's talk about the nourishment that Israel needed and how it was provided by God. The nourishment that Israel needed was provided by God. Now, the book of Exodus, as you know, is named for the Exodus of Israel from Egypt. The people, the descendants of Jacob, had been in that land for 400 plus years. And much of that time, especially the latter part of it, they were under hard oppression. They were slaves. And they cried out to God, and God delivered them. And that's why it's called the Exodus. But the question is God going to just do that? I mean, he says, okay, the door is open. Now you're on your own. Is that the way it works? And of course, with God, that's not the way it works. In this passage that we're going to look at, first of all, in Exodus chapter 16, Exodus chapter 16, verse 35, I want you to look at that with me. Exodus 16 and verse 35. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years. Now, Exodus 16 is the chapter where we're first introduced to the idea of manna. The people had come out of Egypt, and here they are. They're making a journey toward their promised land. How long will it be? Well, it would have been several days if it had gone the way it should have gone. It turned out to be more than 40 years. But even if it were the shortened version, they still would have to have something to eat and something to drink. Where is that going to come from? And so Exodus 16 says, God provided it. This thing called manna. In fact, the word manna means, and your Bible may have a note, a footnote in it, that says it means, what is it? They went out one morning, here are these things on the ground, they weren't there the night before, and people said, what is it? And Moses told them, this is your nourishment, this is your manna, and this is what's going to keep you alive and keep you going until you get to the promised land. So back to Exodus 16. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. And when you go to the book of Joshua, that's exactly what happens. In Joshua, they reach the border of Canaan, and they're already harvesting some of the crops. And so on that day, the manna stopped. Now you've got the food. Now you can take care of yourselves. The manna stops. But think about that. God in his grace provides them the food that they need, and it kept them going all those 40 years, that is the ones that survived, and that's what enabled them to get there. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 that Roger read to us earlier. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I want us to look again at verses 2 through 4, 5. Verses 2 through 5, and here again, this is a later version of it, but Moses is reminding them, remember what God has done for you. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. And so there's the basic image that we're looking at, a man who is disciplining his child, and he wants the child to know, I'm going to take care of you. You've got to learn to obey me. You've got to learn to listen to my words. And that's how God is treating Israel. And that's why he gave them manna. But manna was not the big lesson. Manna was not the big point of this. And as it says there in verse 3, it was to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You know, somebody was listening to that. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And immediately you know we're talking about Jesus. And here he is in the wilderness being tempted by God, by Satan rather. And the first temptation that Satan pulls out is, you're very hungry. I mean, he's been fasting for 40 days. And we can imagine how much hunger must be really gripping him at that point. And he says, you have the ability to turn these stones into bread. Why don't you just do that? And here's how Jesus responds. Matthew chapter 4, the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, in other words, prove it. Prove that you're the Son of God. Command these stones to become loaves of bread. And Jesus could have done that. But Jesus said in verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, Jesus said, it is written. Where did he hear that? Well, we just read it in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And Jesus paid attention to that, and now was a time when he really needed to rely on that. And I'm hungry. My body is just crying out for food. And yet, it is more important that I listen to the words of God than that I feed my body. And so Jesus makes us aware that is a real principle, and there is a higher principle for us to learn from that episode. Again, in John chapter 4, John chapter 4 and verse 34. Again, we're talking about Jesus. And here the disciples have gone into this city in Samaria to buy food. And when they come back, Jesus is talking with a woman. And then she runs away to go get her friends. And they're trying to get Jesus to eat. And he's not really acting like he's going to eat. And they said, come on, master, you need to eat. And here's what Jesus says in John 4, verse 34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. My food, that is, what is it that drives me, that keeps me fueled and going? My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. Now, to do his will, you first have to know his will. You have to listen to what God says in his word. And Jesus obviously had been doing that. And he said, that's what drives me. And no doubt I'm hungry. My body really could use some nourishment. But I'm just basking in this opportunity I've been given to teach this woman and all of the people of this town. And here they come. All the people coming with that woman. And Jesus is going to teach them and stay there a few days. He is received very well. Well, again, that shows there is a higher need than just physical food and drink and clothing. It is the Word of God. It's what we live by. That's what Jesus said. It's what God said through Moses. We are to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, let's go back to the Old Testament one more time in Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And there in verses 23 through 25, the psalmist is going to rehearse some of what happened in Israel's past and draw lessons from it. And listen to what he says in Psalm 78, 23 through 25. Yet he had commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. Do you remember another time when it said he opened the windows of heaven? That was in Genesis, just before the flood. You know, now the time has come for the rain to come out. And the windows of heaven are open, and the rain just came down in torrents. And in the same way, he commanded the skies above, open the doors of heaven, and he rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate of the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance. That to me says God is gracious. That's the grace of God. He fed his people not just with enough, not just to keep them from starving. He gave them food in abundance. They could have all they wanted. And that, to me, shows us what God is like. So God's deliverance of the Israelites out of Egypt was a wonderful thing. But you know, it's more that he stayed with them. I remember the time they built the golden calf not too long after they came out of Egypt. God could have said, okay, I tried to help you. That's all I'm going to do. You're on your own from now on. And many other times when Israel tested God and mumbled and complained and tried to change the leader, you know, we don't want Moses anymore. God could have abandoned them at any of those points, but he kept with them. That's the grace of God, the grace of God for the people of Israel. But I thought we were talking about Christian manna. Isn't that what we're talking about today? Well, you're not going to find that term per se in the Bible. But I want to show you again, we do have manna today. Let me take you back to Matthew 4 and verse 4 again. We read that earlier. Jesus talking to Satan. Satan says, you could do this. You could change the stones into bread. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Jesus there is making the comparison. He's quoting from that passage in Deuteronomy 8, which was all about manna. And Jesus said, my manna is to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to do every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's Christian manna. The words that God has given us, are we gathering it? Are we taking time to go out and accumulate as much of it as we possibly can? That's exactly the idea that we want to stress now. Let's now turn to Acts chapter 20. We're going to spend a few minutes there. So go ahead and open your Bible to Acts chapter 20. And here we have Paul, the apostle, coming to this, he's actually in Troas, I believe, but he calls for the elders of the church in Ephesus. The elders of the church in Ephesus are called to come. He spent 3 years there. They're very close now, you know that. And Paul knows this is the last time you're ever going to see me. He tells them that toward the end of this discussion. And they're really close, and there are things that Paul wants to get across to them because this is the last time. I'll never come this way again. So I want you to look at verse 32 of Acts chapter 20. Verse 32, because here's a verse that really jumped out at me and got me thinking about this idea. Paul says to the elders there, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Now let's think just a few moments about that one verse. What has Paul said? Well, he first of all says, "I commend you to." Some translations will say, "I entrust you to." It's like he's saying, "I'm going to put you in God's hands. God is the one that's going to take over now. I won't ever see you again. And so I'm delivering you to God." And we would all agree, God is the one. We need to be in the hands of God. God is almighty. God is all-knowing. God is the one that can save us. That's a good place to be. But you see, that's not all he said, is it? He didn't just say, "I commend you to God." Look further again with me in verse 32. "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." Now, which word would that be? I think he's referring to every word, just like it said in Deuteronomy 8, every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So Paul says, "I'm commending you, I'm delivering you to God and to the word of his grace." You see, God didn't leave them alone like orphans. Christ didn't leave them alone like orphans. He sent the Holy Spirit to reveal to the apostles and to the other inspired writers everything that we need to know. And we have it here in the Bible. That's everything that we need in order to make it to heaven. And so Paul is saying that, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace," but read on, because now we're going to learn, why do I need the word? Why do I need the word of his grace? He says again in verse 32, "which is able to build you up." That's why we eat on occasions, isn't it? If we don't eat, our bodies run down. We don't have the fuel that we need to keep going. And likewise, the word of God's grace builds us up. It makes us stronger than what we were the day before if we are regular Bible students. We're not left to just, you know, wander around on our own. We are given what we need to build us up. And finally, he says in that verse 32, "and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." To give you the inheritance. And doesn't that sound just a whole lot like what the manna did for the people of Israel? The manna was a gift of God's grace. And what was the purpose of it? It was to keep them alive day by day. Without it, they would have died. And they kept coming, the manna kept coming to them until they reached Canaan, the promised land. And you see, that's what it does for us. God gives us this word, these words, all the words of the Bible, to build us up and to keep us strong daily until we get to our promised land. That's Christian manna. Now I want to take you back to a few verses just before verse 32, because I think this shows us why Paul said all of that, why we need to be focused on the word of God. Let's go back in chapter 20 to verse 18. Acts chapter 20, we're going to read in verses 18 through 21. "When they," that is the elders of Ephesus, "came to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.'" Now, there's a lot of things Paul said there, but one theme comes up three different times, and that is, I taught you. I taught you. He says it, look again at what he says there. I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about teaching. Teaching what? The words of God. That's what Paul did while he lived with them in Ephesus. But let's go further in the chapter. Let's go down to verse 24. Look again at what he says there. I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So what was his mission? What was Paul's purpose in all that he did? To testify to the gospel of the grace of the Lord. And again, it's all about teaching. It's about knowing what Christ did in coming to this earth. It's about the kind of life he lived, the things he did, the people he was around, and what he expects of us. So again, Paul's talking about, I taught you while I was there in Ephesus. I taught you. Again, look at verses 26 and 27. Verses 26 and 27. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Paul didn't leave anything out. It may have been unpopular with certain people, maybe unpopular with powerful people. But Paul said, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. And again, that simply means, I taught you. I taught you every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then look at verse 31. Verse 31. He says there in verse 31, therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And I am confident this admonishment was accompanied by teaching. That's usually how we use that word in the New Testament. Admonishing means to encourage, to really motivate you, to try to get you to do what you know you ought to be doing. And that's based on the Word of God. So all those things that we've looked at prior to verse 32, how would you characterize it? Well, I think I've made it pretty clear, haven't I? It's all about the Word of God. Paul didn't say, you remember how those, tents I used to make when I lived with you in Ephesus? Or the times we go out fishing together, or the good meals we had together? He didn't talk about those. Although he did all of those things, the one thing that stood out to him was, I have taught you the words of God, the gracious words of God. Why? Look again at verse 32 that we've already looked at. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So here's the question. Are we interested in surviving spiritually? Are we interested in surviving spiritually? And are we interested in making it to heaven? And I think probably every one of us gathered here today would say, yeah, I'm interested. Then how about the manna that God has given us? What do we do with that? And I think the parallels between the manna given to Israel for 40 years and the word that God rains down upon us are strong. I think it's no mistake. God has provided us with this. It's something that we need, and we are wise to take every opportunity to gather that word and to learn it and to live it. Let me take you to one more passage before we finish. Hebrews 13 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9. And here the writer is not mentioning manna, but it's all about the word of God. Although, again, he doesn't really say that, but look at what he does say. Hebrews 13 and verse 9, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. And that simply means there are things that you could pay attention to that are strange to the Word of God. They're strange because you don't find them in the Word of God. And there's a lot of religious teachings out there today, always have been, that people come up with on their own. It's not what God said, but it's what they say. And Paul said, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. And so what he's saying is, you need to find that which really strengthens your heart. And what is that? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. You need to choose to spend time with the Word of God. Now, as far as we know, based on all that I read in the Pentateuch, especially the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, the Psalms included, no one was ever forced to leave their tent while they were out in the wilderness, and you get out there and you pick up manna today. Nobody was ever forced to do that. I don't find that anywhere. And that's not surprising, is it? I mean, nobody's going to force you to go downstairs after we finish and join in the activity down there. But some of us are thinking, when is he going to stop? I'm really getting hungry right now. Are you spiritually hungry? Sometimes we need an appetite stimulant. That's what this lesson is designed to be, to stimulate our appetites for the Word of God. There are many opportunities to hear the Word of God here that we provide on Sundays, on Wednesday evenings, at other times. I'm hoping some of you are going to say, I'd love for all of you to say, you know, I'm going to make that a priority. I need to hear the Word of God more than I've been hearing it. And I'm going to take advantage of those opportunities, but especially on our own, those other days of the week when we're at home. We have our Bibles. We have it on our smartphones. We have the Bible all around us. Let's choose to spend time gathering the manna, that Christian manna that will keep us alive and lead us all the way to heaven. Are you a Christian this morning? You can begin right now. The Word of God is clear. If you've heard enough about Jesus to say, I do believe he is the Son of God. He wasn't just a great man. He wasn't just a prophet. He is the Son of God. I believe that. And if you believe it strongly enough that you will turn away from sin, whatever God tells you is a sin, and you'll confess him before other people today and every day the rest of your life, and if today you'll agree to let someone baptize you, bury you in a grave of water, you'll come out of that water a Christian, forgiven of every sin you've ever committed, saved, and on your way to heaven. We'd love to help you with that if you've not done that yet. And if you've done that and yet you've not been faithful, or you've been pursuing the things of the world more than the things of God, you may need to pray for forgiveness. You may need to pray for strength. But if we can help you in any way, please don't let this opportunity go by, but come as we stand together and sing.
Why keep Jesus waiting?
Jesus waiting.
Please be seated. As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, if you're using a hymn book, we'll be singing number 382. Number 382, Why Did My Savior Come to Earth?
Why did my Savior come to earth?
Part of the commandments for New Testament worship includes the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is taken at the beginning of the week, the first day of the week. This can be as uplifting as our Bible study and our singing is together. And it seems to me that it's mentioned in equality, which means this is of equal importance in the worship services to others. I'd like to give that a little consideration as we enter into prayer for the bread. I'd like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Our fathers, we come before you just now through Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our source of salvation. We're thankful for the examples that have been said of righteous living, that your word reflects what righteous living is and what worship is. We're thankful to be in a place, dear God, where we can do this as we've been commanded to do,
hopefully in a manner that's acceptable to you, unimpeded by government or others. We pray, dear God, that we would do this in a manner well-pleasing, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Continuing in verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Father, again, thank you for the gift. Thank you for Jesus Christ and for what he did on this earth and what he is doing for us now. We're thankful, dear God, for the blood that was shed on our behalf that can clean our garments and make us once again white, make us once again acceptable and clean as our garments should be. Pray, dear God, asking you that we would do this in a manner that is well-pleasing and in keeping with your will. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This being a convenient time, let's continue in our worship by giving thanks for the offerings that are going to be provided. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for the physical blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We're thankful, dear God, that you have given us the ability to go out and to provide for this work, for our families, and for ourselves. We pray, dear God, that the gifts will be given with good hearts. Pray for the proper distribution of these funds, that much good will be done, your kingdom be glorified. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Slight modification this morning. I'm going to have Brother John Jarrett come up and make an announcement, and then I will have the announcements for you very quickly, or as quickly as I can, and then I'll have the closing prayer and also the prayer for the meal. Brother John Jarrett.
Good morning. On August 3rd, beginning at 8 a.m., the Central Church of Christ will be hosting the 2024 Mount Empire Men's Day. The theme of this event is One Man and God, and it will feature a multitude of speakers from across the region and songs of praise to the Lord. The speakers will be covering a range of topics such as facing the Goliaths in your life, unlocking the truth in the digital era, and the elephant and the flea. If you are wondering what the elephant and the flea and a flea has to do with anything, you will have to wait until August to find out. I'm sorry. Please help us spread the word to any man that may be interested. You can find the link to register at gracemon.org. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you all. You do a really good job of taking your communion cups and putting them in the trash can as you leave. As you already know, it's been mentioned, there will be an all-church covered dish fellowship meal today after we are dismissed. You can probably smell it already. Everyone is welcome for an afternoon of food, a fellowship, and fun. There will also be a baby shower today after the fellowship meal from 3 until 5 o'clock. for Sarah and Alex Lesquez, members of our Hispanic congregation. They would appreciate help with diapers, baby wipes, and Walmart gift cards. All are invited. The church offices will be closed this Thursday, July 4th, and Friday, July 5th, for the 4th of July. There will be a class for information for instructors for the women's prison. All women in the church are welcome to attend. That is Tuesday, July the 9th, from 6:30 to 7:30 in the downstairs classroom. If you're interested in that, there's the time. It'll also be probably in the Daily Focus. A young Christian man will begin medical school in mid-July, but can't get into his apartment until August the 1st. If you have a room for him to use until his apartment is available, please speak with Tim Hall. Please remember these in prayer. Gail Slides will meet with specialists this week at MD Anderson Center, Cancer Center in Houston, following discovery of cancer in her parotid gland. She and Steve plan to be back home by the end of the week. Benny Cole, father of Andy Cole, underwent surgery Friday morning to remove a spot on his lung that was found a few weeks ago. Doctors were unable to do a biopsy prior to surgery, so that was one of the objectives of the surgery. Andy asked that we keep his father in prayers. Basil Barkley, a former member here at Central, is hospitalized in Missouri as he recovers from COVID. His wife Donna reports that he is doing some better. Creighton Kellum is beginning a month-long residence in a military hospital in San Antonio, Texas, beginning tomorrow. He and Danny have driven there, and Danny will fly back home tomorrow. Arlene asks for our prayers for safe travel and that all will go well with Creighton. Please see the bulletin as you exit, or if you already have one, or the Daily Focus that comes out every day for more information and prayer request. If you would, I'm going to have the closing prayer and the prayer for the meal. Would you bow? Heavenly Father, as we have gathered in your presence today, we thank you for the opportunity to lift up our hearts in gratitude and praise to you. Father, we acknowledge your supreme authority and the countless blessings that we enjoy daily. Lord, we hope and we pray that our worship has been reverent and honorable in your sight this day. Thank you for your love and your grace, and we humbly ask you for guidance in our daily walks. Finally, Father, thank you for the time of fellowship and dining that we're about to enter into. Bless all who contributed in any manner to this special event, and we give thanks for the food and fellowship. But more importantly, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, and in his name we pray, amen. You are dismissed. Enjoy.